Let us pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, into your presence we have come this morning because we know that you are the only one who can bless us. We also know that you are the only one who can change things in this world, because you rule over the affairs of men. Our Father and our God, we ask, O Lord, that we will receive a touch from you this morning in Jesus' name. In particular, we want to commit our homes into your hand, Lord Jesus. Make abode with us in Jesus' name. In this troubled world and troubled times, ours will be examples of where Jesus reigns. In the mighty name of Jesus, bless every home that will be represented here by reason of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Bless your people in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. We are looking at Christian home. The Christian home. That is what we are looking at this morning. The Christian home. And we are taking our text from Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. First, we are going to read verse 21 to 33 of Ephesians 5. And then we are going to read verses 1 to 9 from Ephesians 6. So, I would like somebody to read from Ephesians 5, verse 21 to 33. Yes, please. No. They shall be one flesh. And this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. Okay, Ephesians 6, 1 to 9. Praise the Lord. The Christian home, just like most institutions in the world today, the home has been bombarded and attacked and has been thrown into confusion. You will agree with me that we are living in a world where everything is being redefined every day. If somebody wakes up today and decides that what we have known or what has worked over time is no longer the way to think or act, so long as they can reason it out, every one of us, we follow them. That is the way things are. And it's the same situation with homes. So homes have been under attack, so much so that we get confused. Parents no longer know what their roles are. Parents no longer have authority. Children no longer know what their roles are. Husbands don't know their roles. Wives don't know their roles anymore. Everything is in total confusion. But for the homes of the children of God, the Christian home, it ought not to be so. It ought not to be so. Because the Bible says, let everything be done in what? In order. There has to be order in our homes. And the Lord, you see, in a home that there is no order, what happens is that the product of such homes cannot be people who have orders in their lives. When they grow up, and I'm telling you, I'm speaking from experience, and because I've seen a lot of people who grew up in disordered homes. When they come out, they become disordered themselves. So it is very important for us to listen to the Word of God and pattern our homes in line with the Word of God. So when I'm talking about Christian home here this morning, I want to believe that we all are talking about the same thing. I'm talking about a Christian home as a place, you know, where the people of God live, that is made up of a man, his wife, a woman, not another man, and their children. Because the world is helping us to redefine homes and redefine families. I think just last week, the New South Wales government was passing a law basically to now say that same-sex couples can now adopt children and bring them up. So James and John can adopt kids and bring them up. God, who decided that a man and a woman should be parents, knew why he did so. Praise the Lord. So, a Christian home is a home where the members all subscribe and submit to the authority and the lordship of Jesus Christ. The implication of that is that the running of the home is patterned after godly examples in the Bible. So the Christian home is patterned after godly examples. Can we quickly go to Hebrews chapter 13? Let me show us something there. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. It's actually verse 7 and 8. But I will just... We'll look at this. It says, remember your leaders and superiors in authority, for it was they who brought you to the word of God. Listen to this part. It says, observe attentively and consider their manner of living, the outcome of their well-spent lives, and imitate their faith, that is their conviction that God exists and is the creator and ruler of all things, the provider and bestower of eternal salvation through Christ, and their leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. He now says, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is always the same, yesterday, today, yes, and forever, to the ages. Praise the Lord. How many leaders can we emulate today? Even so-called Christian leaders. Our homes have to be patterned after godly people who holds on to God and have the integrity to live, not just preach, but to live the word of God. Praise the Lord. It's very important that our homes are modeled after such people, because everything that is written in the Bible is written for our example. If you've seen somebody done something and they failed by what they did, we are not meant to repeat the same thing. But if somebody did something and they were blessed by reason of what they did, we are supposed to emulate those good works and do them. Praise the Lord. So the members of the home accept the word of God as the final authority on any issue. You see, this is so crucial that we come to a point where we believe that the word of God is the final arbiter. If the word of God says we have to resolve something, we have to resolve it. If the word of God says we have to forgive, we forgive. If the word of God says we have to pray, we pray. So the word of God is the final arbiter for us as children of God. Is the final authority. It is not people of influence that is the final authority in our homes. It is Jesus Christ who is the final authority. So each parent must be willing, and they have to make 100% commitment to the well-being of the home. What's the percentage of the commitment? 100%. So each person is making 100% commitment. What we now have in our homes that is breaking homes is everyone wants to make 50% commitment. Each person is to make 100% commitment to the homes. And they say, he's not doing this, she's not doing that, and so on. And that is why things are falling apart. Everyone is waiting for the other person. Look, let me tell you something. There will be times when the other person may not necessarily be able to put in their 100%. The Bible said the reason you are two is because when one falls, the other will do what? We pull the other up. Go and read the Ecclesiastes. He said, for it is good to be two, because when one is cold, the other person will do what? Will warm them up. You will be failing in your responsibility when you are not able to pick up the other person, and you are basically saying, because they are not contributing their 100%, they don't love you anymore. And when you are not able to contribute your 100%, they will be there for you also. If God thought you could go it alone, he wouldn't have made you two to become one. Because the Bible says, one shall do what? Shall slay how many? 1,000. And two, 10,000. Because there will be that exponential returns when we work together in unity. That is the Christian home. Praise the Lord. The parents in the Christian home, they have long-term vision for the home, because failure is not an option. They have what kind of vision? Long-term vision. Let me tell you something. In most people don't even know what is called long-term vision anymore. Most people live for the moment. You will find out that our society live for the moment. I'll give you an example. When politicians come and they make promises of things we perceive right now, we say, oh, look, this is the person I'm going to vote for. We don't even look at the integrity of these people. We don't even look at what they stand for. We don't look at the long-term view of these people. We don't look at the damage that will be done to the society. Once it look good, let's accept it. Nobody is looking at the long-term impact anymore. But the Christian home cannot afford to be like that. They have long-term visions, because for them, failure is not an option. For the non-Christian home, well, let's do it. Let's enjoy it for the now. If it doesn't work, we'll pack it up. We'll break it up. We go our separate ways. But for us, it's not an option. We have to follow to the end, and the Lord will strengthen you in Jesus' name. So, such homes are known for studying and sharing the Word of God. They pray together and regard God as the ultimate source of their provisions and well-being. Everyone is valued and has a role to play. How many people have roles to play in the Christian home? Only the father? The mother? No, everyone in the Christian home has a role to play. And that is how it is going to work. And the Lord will equip us to do what He has called us to do in Jesus' name. Let's quickly look at the role of the Father. I know that the world no longer wants to talk about roles anymore. Because, you know, today is Father's Day. It is because a lot of fathers are failing to play their roles that our children are growing up confused. They don't even know what it is like to be a father. They don't even know what it is like to be a man. They don't have any guidance at all. The father themselves are utterly confused. If there's any such father here in this assembly today, they will receive enlightenment in Jesus' name. For us, Christ is the head of the man. That's what the Bible says. I'm not manufacturing this. That's the word of God. Christ is the head of the man. The man is the head of the home, and by extension, he's the head of his home, including the wife and the children that are there. Some people don't want to be responsible, and that is why they don't want to take the position of the headship of the home. Let me tell you, it's an opportunity not to be responsible when you refuse to be the head in your home. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Ephesians 5, 23. Can somebody read for us? If you are not there, I can read. Mm-hmm. For the husband is the head of the wife, so also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the world. Praise the Lord. Just like Christ is the head of the church, the man heads the home. There is room for consultation. Praise the Lord. There is room for what? Consultation. There's room for agreement. But when it comes to taking responsibility, someone has to take responsibility for what is going to happen. So in other words, when things are going to fall apart, you cannot stand there and watch and just let things fall apart. Because you will have to take responsibility. Let's quickly look at a few. Because the Bible has examples of men that bore the responsibility for the attitude of their household toward the things of God. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 3, 11 to 14. Can somebody quickly read for me? Now I'm conscious of the time. If we can talk about the fathers, that would be all for this morning, because it's Father's Day. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 11 to 14. Can somebody read? Bible students, quick. 1 Samuel 3:11-14. Okay, maybe I should read if you are not there. The Bible says, "The Lord told Samuel, 'Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of all who hear it shall tingle. On that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I now announce to him that I will judge and punish his house forever for the iniquity of which he knew, for his sons were bringing a curse upon themselves, blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for or purged with sacrifice or offering forever.'" Why? Because Eli knew. And he did not do anything about it. That will not be your story in Jesus' name. Let's look at another person in the Bible. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. It says, speaking of Abraham, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." And the Lord said, because the... Okay, I will stop there. The Lord says he will bring about his blessings upon the house of Abraham because he will command his children to be obedient to the word of God. In the case of Eli, because he did not command his children to be obedient to the way of God, God said, "This is what I'm going to do concerning his house." So as a father this morning, you have to make a choice. The direction you want things to go for your home, the attitude of God towards your home. In Acts chapter 10 verse 35, the Bible says, "For everyone in every nation is acceptable to God if they will live in righteousness and in fear of him." So every home that will live righteously and in fear of the Lord, they become acceptable unto the Lord, and the Lord will bless them. So the Lord will bless your home depending on your attitude to the things of God. Yes, "But in every nation, he that feareth him and walketh righteousness is accepted with him." It's the same thing with our homes. Praise the Lord. So husbands, we do have a great responsibilities. In building the home, the husband sees the wife as the help that is perfect for him, not an inferior partner in the relationship. The father had the duty to love the wife. Ephesians 5:25, it says, "Love your wife just like Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church." In other words, you so much love your wife that you are ready to die instead of your wife. What we see these days are husbands who want to claim insurance. They don't mind pushing off their wives off the cliff. They will sacrifice anything. Husbands who see a woman they think is outwardly more beautiful, they will create confusion at home. You try to settle it, it becomes difficult to settle. They will not settle until they make sure that they've divorced that woman. The same thing goes for some women. When they see a man who seemed to have, you know, to be better placed, all the things that they used to settle with their husband before, they forgive and they move on. You try by all means, mediation, whatever you try, they make sure it's impossible. They will have to make sure that the property is sold and shared, and break up the home irrespective of the impact it's going to have on their children, irrespective of the impact on their relationship with God. That is not the kind of home that God wants us to be building. Christ is our great reward. Christ is the biggest prize we can win. It's not how much money we have in our bank account. It's not how many restaurants we can visit and eat. You can eat the best meals. Look, you can take the best care of your body. What's going to happen to it eventually? It goes. No matter how much you take care of it, at the end of the day, it's... Look, I've never seen anybody, any... When I'm talking about a body now, corpse that has been rejected when it's buried. Or when they decide to cremate it, that has ever been rejected because it's too beautiful. Have you ever seen that? Because it's so beautiful, the ground refused to swallow it up. It refused to decompose because it's so beautiful, because you've spent so much makeup on it. The women, what do you call it? Is it El Ladio? What are the names of those people? They produce and take our money. They produce these things and take our money. You may spend... Look, if you like, spend 2 hours every morning before you go out making up your face and doing everything. At the end of the day, it comes to nothing. But there is something that endures forever. Your relationship with Jesus. That's why we need to have long-term visions in our homes. The world lives on things that are ephemeral. The world lives on fickle things. We cannot live like that. We have a goal. We have a place we are going. We have a destination. The Bible says, if our hope were to be in this world, we are what? We are most miserable of all people. Praise the Lord. The love that Christ expects from the Father is enumerated in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And the Father will love his wife in all situations. It has to be the love at the level of Christ, like I said, willing to give yourself. Of course, you cannot love somebody and deal with them untruthfully or dishonestly. You cannot. When you love somebody, you seek their good. You will comfort them. You will strengthen them. Of course, you will consult them, because the Bible says you have become one. The Father has a responsibility for shielding the family from all forms of danger, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Of course, the Christian husband must put Christ first. It is no longer love when you put your wife or your husband above Jesus Christ. It is no longer love when you put any man, any woman above Jesus Christ. That's no longer love. It has become idolatry. The same thing goes for the wives. It becomes idolatry. By the time you exalt anyone above Jesus Christ, that is no longer love. The Father acts as the priest of the family, establishing and maintaining the family altar for worship. That is our role. That is our role. So if you are a father in the house, you have a responsibility to see to the spiritual, physical, and emotional well-being of the home. let's stop leaving everything to the mothers. And mothers, the Bible is replete with examples of women that determine the destiny of their homes. In the home of Father Jacob, who determined the destiny of that home? No, not Father Jacob. Father Isaac. Who determined the destiny of that home? Was Rachel? Because Father Isaac loved Father Esau so much. But Mother Rachel loved Father Jacob so much. And we know the rest of the story. In other words, I'm saying our mothers are very influential. And there are lots of men of God that their mothers shaped their destiny. A ready example is Timothy. His mother and grandmother, they were the main influence upon his life. And he became a powerful man of God. Record has it that at the time that Paul left Timothy to look after the churches as a pastor, Timothy probably had like 50 churches under his supervision. And he was a man that was groomed by the mom and the grandmother. So we have women, you have a lot of influence on what the destiny of your children will be. And for most, in most homes, it's the mom that spends the most time with the children. And the children are more likely to observe what you do and copy you than they would their dad. Because you are always there. You are the one who is speaking into their lives from minute to minute. So you are so powerful. So it's so important how our moms see their responsibility at home. However, just like the husband, your first responsibility and love is to Christ. If you love your husband more than you love Jesus, it becomes idolatry. Of course, next to Christ is your husband, whom you submit to and obey. Submitting to your husband, is it dependent on how intelligent he is? No. Does it depend on how much education he has? No. Does it depend on how much money he has in his pocket? No. In closing, recently I saw a couple in my work, and what happened between those two would serve as a lesson to us Christians. These people are not Christians, but I will tell you their story. This husband is probably in his early 60s, and the wife close to that age too. The husband became unwell. He was admitted into hospital. And then he was discharged from hospital. He was coming to see me. And of course, as a psychiatrist, you know, we talk about everything. Praise the Lord. So one day we talked about the issue of intimacy. And even though the husband has become quite well, and I said, you know, what's stopping you two from being intimate? And the wife said, it's me. That's the wife said, it was him. It was her who was stopping the intimacy. And I said, why? He said, look. He said, since he became sick, I no longer see him like my husband. He said, because I've had to take care of him. I'm talking about real life story. I've had to look after him. I've had to do things for him. So I no longer see him. I see myself more like his mother. So I don't think we should be intimate anymore. When one falls down, the other one will pick him or her up. It does not mean that they are no longer your husband or your wife. A change of circumstance does not change the relationship. Praise the Lord. Finally, children, you have a responsibility to honor and obey your parents. Through that, you are going to have long life and the Lord will prosper you. Of course, you are to love Jesus above all. But you must also reciprocate your parents' love. Remember that you are going to become parents too. For whatever a man soweth, I don't have to say it. It's already written down. For whatever a man soweth, so shall he reap. You are going to be parents too. It's better not to succumb to the desires of the world than you succumbing and later trying to kick the habits. I'm talking about drugs and alcohol use, pornography, homosexuality, and all the other vices. It's better for you not to have gone into them at all than you go into them and then say, oh, I want to get out of it. You don't know what God, how much God loves you, that you are hearing what you are hearing this morning. Some people don't have that opportunity. And what happens is that they will have gone astray. And they then spend the rest of their lives trying to recover. That will not be the story of our children in the mighty name of Jesus. In conclusion, the success of our home will depend on how much of Christ we allow there, the extent of his love demonstrated by all of us, and the commitment of each person to make 100% contribution. We also know that except the Lord builds the house, they that labor, they do what? They labor in vain. The Lord will build your home for you in Jesus' name. It is Father's Day. Fathers, those of us who are not around, please read the bulletin. We have the lion's share. You have a big responsibility. Praise the Lord. Because God will be asking you. You have to make up your mind and say, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. You have to lead the pack. Enough is enough of dilly-dallying. Lead the pack and the others will follow. I know some fathers, if you say, oh, why your children, you see, why don't they come to church? You say, oh, you see, children, they have rights. Therefore, you see, they may not want to come. But if your child is not eating, you get worried. You don't say, my children, they have rights to choose to eat or not to eat. Right? If they are not going to school, you get worried. You don't say because they have rights. In fact, the government has given you the right to ensure. In fact, some people don't get their benefits because their kids are not going to school. The same thing, you owe these children that responsibility. Before they can make up their own mind, let them know God. If they now choose to live the way, when they become adults, that is between them and God. But you will have shown them the way to go. Praise the Lord. Please, let's rise on our feet. And we are going to pray for our homes this morning. Let's pray for our homes and say, Father, and every home you can remember, every home, if they are not Christian home, pray for them that they will become Christian homes. If they are Christian homes, pray for them that the glory of God will be revealed in their homes, in Jesus' name. And remember to pray for your home, that the glory of God be revealed in your home, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we just remember every home right now, every home that is being troubled by the enemy, every home that the enemy has deceived, every home that is in disarray and in confusion. We speak Christ into you this morning. We ask that there will be order there from today. We ask that peace will begin to reign in the mighty name of Jesus. Every home that is troubled, we speak life into you in the mighty name of Jesus. We say, receive of the Lord a new lease of life. Let there be orderliness. Let there be organization. Let there be peace. Let there be joy. Let there be unity in your homes from today, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. The joy of every home is to see the children blossom. Father, because our homes are godly homes, our children will blossom in Jesus' name. My Father, my God, in the battle of life, these children will be victorious in Jesus' name. Drugs will not overcome them. Alcohol will not overcome them. Pornography will not overcome them. Homosexuality will not overcome them. Every antics of the enemy will not overcome our children in Jesus' name. They will stand and be counted for Christ, even in the 21st century, in Jesus' name.